Hey everyone, I know you've heard me speak about microdosing and how much I love it. And I'm talking about microdosing THC. I love it. And that's why I love our sponsor, microdose.com. Microdose gummies are incredible. They deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. And when I mean just the right amount of good, I mean in so many situations. Anxiety, sleep, focus, pain, relaxation. There are so many different strains and they're really helpful. And I have recommended microdose.com to so many people. And you know what they say to me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Don't be afraid of microdosing. Go to microdose.com and you'll learn all about microdosing THC. These gummies feel amazing. They taste amazing. I have used them to get me into the zone I need to write. I've used them at night after a stressful day or a stressful show to relax. I have also said to family members, please take a gummy right now. And they've said, oh, good idea. So check it out. Check it out because they're fantastic. And I'm not like a big weed person. I mean, I used to be. And I do enjoy weed every now and then. But I love these gummies. And I take them with me everywhere. So check it out. Don't be afraid. They're all natural. They're fantastic. And you deserve it. So what are you going to do? You're going to do something that is fantastic. You're going to get 30% off your first order. 30% off. That's a lot. Plus free shipping today at microdose.com. Use promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD. It's available nationwide. They deliver it to your door. That is microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD for 30% off and free shipping. Do it. Go to microdose.com. Promo code JUDYGOLD. You deserve it. You deserve it. And you know what else? You're welcome.
Tropfen regn auf mein Kopf. Hink wie ein Deckel, muss es die kleine Farbe im Kopf. Geht mir kein Sach mit, die Tropfen.
Hey everyone, welcome to Kill Me Now with Judy Gold. I am your host, Judy Gold. Bing! And this week we have part two of my conversation with Kurt Braunohler, who is just fantastic and what a sweet guy and what a life. So I hope you enjoy that. What a week it's been, huh? It's been an incredible week. I was on the Sherry Show. I don't know if you saw it. And I announced my show that's coming to 59 East 59th Street Theater in New York City. It is called Yes, I Can Say That, and it is directed by B.D. Wong. And I love B.D. Wong, and written by me and Eddie Sarfati. And so get your tickets. It's on my website. Get your tickets. But wait, let me go through my upcoming shows because I always do it at the end, and I always feel like no one listens at the end, as you are well aware. Sellersville, Pennsylvania, at the Sellersville Theater. That would be this Saturday, January 21st. I'm at the DC Comedy Loft in Washington, DC, January 26th, 27th, and 28th. And then on February 4th, I am at the Avenel Performing Arts Center in Avenel, New Jersey, which is right by where I grew up. Woo! And I had such a wonderful time. Tickets for all of those events are on my website, judygold.com. What's happened this week? Well, you know, we've been working on perfecting the script, Eddie and I, the Yes, I Can Say That script. So, so that's great. And I saw some great shows. I saw The Collaboration on Broadway, which is about Basquiat and Andy Warhol and their collaboration. And it was fucking great. And Jeremy Pope is such a good actor, and he's fucking amazing. He is just amazing. They're both amazing at it. But Jeremy Pope is going to be a huge star. And he's gay. Ding. Okay. Yeah, we should have a gay bell. Don't you think we should have a gay bell? Let me know if you think we should have a gay bell. I know you're going to say no because I know the Jew bell is already annoying. So don't even start with me. What else? I am going to see tonight Leopoldstadt, which is another Broadway show, Jewy. What else did I see? I've been doing a lot of theater. You know, it's like I hate New York sometimes because, you know, the subway and it's filthy and it's just dangerous. And then, you know, I get on the subway and I go to a Broadway show and I'm like, I love New York. So it's like, you can't win here. It's just, but you know, the noise and I'm getting old. I'm definitely getting old. So yeah, so that's that. Elisa is obsessed with football and I am a football widow and she stands in front of the TV. She literally stands in front of the TV like a guy, like, just like, yeah, go, what? Ugh. And I'm like, so now I have Elisa and two sons that are straight. Like, I can't win here. I mean, I'm learning to love football. I'm learning to love football. I prefer tennis. But I'm learning to love the football. But her standing in front of the TV like a mental patient, it's a little much. You know what I'm saying? But I love her. What else do I have to say? I don't know. I'm not that talky talk today. I'm not that talkative as I'm recording this. But I'm happy. I'm happy you're here. I'm happy you're here to listen. So get tickets to all my shows, please. And get tickets to my off-Broadway show at 59 East 59. Don't ask me what the address is. God, that's funny, Judy. It's called the 59 East 59th Street Theater. And it is, there's Henry calling me and I can't take it. So let me just say, I'm recording something. Bye. Okay, I just hung up on him and he was in the middle of talking to me. Now I forgot what I was going to say. This is my life. He calls me. He FaceTimes. Why do the kids FaceTime instead of just calling? Why do they FaceTime instead of calling? I don't understand. I do not understand. Just call and that's it. Anyway, so the 59 East 59th Street Theater is at 59 East 59th Street, but it's like the stupidest name of a theater, don't you think? But then again, it's not that stupid. So there you go. Listen, I love Kurt Braunohler. We have other great guests coming up, but, you know, sit back right now and relax and enjoy part two of my interview with Kurt Braunohler. I love you. You start doing stand-up, you do well, and you didn't watch television for 15 years.
Yeah.
What? First of all, how old were you? Why, when, what, how, who?
It probably started when I went to college. And it was just like a, classic, like, teenager punk rock, fuck popular culture kind of thing. It was like, I watch Almodovar movies and that's it. I don't watch any popular television. So I did have like a large chunk probably from like 1994 to 2010 where I just didn't watch any popular culture whatsoever.
Did you watch stand-up specials? Did you watch anything? Did you have cable? Like
I was interested in stand-up as a kid. As a kid, I really loved stand-up and would watch kind of variety shows.
Yeah, the variety shows. Yeah.
And then stopped with stand-up until I hit New York City and was deep in the improv scene. And I happened to start seeing, and I remember first seeing Eugene Merman.
Oh yeah. Wait.
There you go. And being like, this stand-up I like, you know,
right.
There was no pop culture references. It wasn't timely. It was absurd and silly and kind of very personal. And that was when I was like, oh, this could be the kind of stand-up I like. And then he kind of became a mentor for me.
He's such a nice guy.
He's great. I love him so much.
Eugene Merman, ladies and gentlemen.
He married my wife and I, actually.
No way.
Yes.
You had a Jew marry you after you went to the Catholic school?
Yep.
Wow.
He was so funny. He was so good.
Oh, he's a great guy. Wait, I have to know what broke the not watching TV for 15 years. Like, what was the first thing you watched after you hadn't watched TV for?
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
What? What did I start watching? I think it was, I think True Blood. I think True
really
Blood is what brought me around. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now do you watch less television than?
I watch so much TV.
You do?
Oh yeah. I watch TV every night. I love it. I love TV.
So do you feel like you were such an asshole for those 15 years or you missed out on anything? I mean, do you miss out on references and stuff?
I miss out on references all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I've been in it for at least, 12 years or more, I feel like I'm pretty, I can play the game of things having been seen. But at now, right when I get into it, now all of popular culture is so niche. It doesn't matter anymore. Now it's like TikTok references that I can't even fathom what the fuck they are.
I can't. It's so fucking annoying. Don't even get me started. Okay. So your father, who we didn't, we sort of left off and now we're going back to, at the age, was it 60 or 62? He has twins. Is that correct?
Yeah, 62. He had twins at 62. Yeah.
And how old are you at this point?
So it was 20 years ago. So I was 26.
Mm-hmm.
26. And yeah, my dad had twins.
Okay.
My eldest sister was, 40 at the time.
Oh, she's 40. And your father has twins.
Zero babies when she's 40.
Which is quite interesting because my ex, I have two kids, Henry and Ben.
Yeah.
And my ex, we broke up in 2004. And then I guess 4 years ago or five, something like that, she gets married to someone 23 years younger than her.
Wow.
Who's 11 years older than Henry. I don't know why I hit it on 11 years instead of Henry. And she has, is it a year and a half? They're like a year and 4 months, maybe twins. And she's 60. She's going to be 61.
Wow.
A woman, and it's like, it's so weird because she's a woman and I'm always like, and everyone's like, men do it all the time. Men do it all the time.
Yeah.
But it's so weird for my kids.
Of course. Yeah.
Also,
for my dad, I don't think it was that weird because he didn't like his participation level in the child rearing is low.
Right.
So it's like, from his perspective, he's like, give a shit.
He's like Nick Cannon.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, somebody's raising him. I'm around. I'll say hi.
So you get married eventually. You marry another comedian.
She's not a stand-up, but she is a writer and an actor. She's very funny.
Lauren Cook, her name is. Mm-hmm. And you call yourself Dildos.
Oh yeah.
Double income. Wait, what is it? Wait, I wrote it down in shitty. Double income, large
dog owner.
Dog owner. Okay, sorry. I couldn't see the dog. So you call yourselves Dildos, and you do like stuff online and stuff.
Yeah.
You had this show with Kristen Schaal.
Mm-hmm.
Did you meet her at UCB?
I met her at The Pit, which was a competing improv.
Oh, yeah, place. I know The Pit.
Yeah. And we started a variety show in 2005 called Hot Tub.
Uh-huh.
And we've been doing it ever since. Been on hiatus because of the pandemic. We're bringing it back in January, which is very exciting.
I could be on your hot tub.
Come. When you're in LA, come do it.
I'm doing it. Don't fucking act like you, when I, you're like, what? I never said that. Okay. So how did you meet Lauren?
I met Lauren at a Yola Tango concert at Bell House in Brooklyn. God,
I really have to go stab myself right now. I'm so not cool enough for this fucking interview. Okay.
And she was on another date at the time.
No way. With who?
With another comedian.
Okay, who was it?
Well, she claims it wasn't a date. She was just there as friends, but I think
okay. It was probably a date. But he, of course, thought it was a date.
Probably. Yeah. It was Todd Barry.
No. Okay. No fucking way. You're fucking kidding me.
No, I'm not. And then
okay. I've known Todd Barry since he started.
Yes, I know. So if Todd doesn't know this story,
oh God, I fucking love this. Okay, yeah. I'm sure he doesn't listen to my podcast.
There. But they were just there as friends, I think, or maybe he thought it was a date. I don't know. I've never talked to Todd about it. But there was nothing untoward happened or anything like that. I just saw her at the bar, chatted for 5 minutes.
And did you know immediately? Oh my God.
I did. And never have I said this. I was with Eugene Merman and my friend Chris, and we were watching Lauren leave with Todd. And I was like, there goes the woman I'm going to marry. And that was for real. I have never said that.
That is crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Now, did you ever talk to Lauren about if she made out with Todd or anything?
I've never asked any questions.
I need to know.
I've never asked questions. I've never asked any question. I had a relationship once, 20 years ago, where I asked all the questions about former lovers. And it drove me crazy. And I will not ask any questions. And I don't.
Okay, but you're not going to be jealous of Todd.
I'm not going to be jealous of Todd, but I've simply never asked any question.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Todd is very funny, though. He's very,
very, very funny.
All right. Not my type. I like a nice vagina.
I remember seeing Todd at, I think it was at at Whiplash or something like that, where it had been 10 full minutes of just destroying, And then he's like, all right, I'll do a joke. And then he finally did some of his material. He got one joke in before he got the light. He'd just been destroying, just fucking with the crowd.
We all used to love that. You know, before everyone had phones.
Hey everyone, I have a new sponsor and I love them. They're called OneSkin. OneSkin. And what is OneSkin? It is skincare. Skincare that is simple. I guess that's the perfect word. It's simple. You don't have to put on 18,000 products while you're dying to get in bed. OneSkin was founded by 4 PhDs dedicated to skin longevity. And this stuff proves you don't need a complicated routine to achieve better skin. Their supplements, they're topical, and they make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without putting all that other shit on your face. And the secret of OneSkin is their OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of senescent cells, those little cells that contribute to skin aging. And the fewer amount of cells that they're called zombie cells, that means healthier, younger looking skin, fewer wrinkles, fewer lines, reduced age spots, natural barrier. And that is very important, especially now it's spring and summer and you're going to be out in the sun. So, you know, you love your skin, so do something for it. Return it the favor of having skin and treat it nicely. Does that make sense? Well, so I'm very excited about OneSkin and I haven't gotten my product yet, but I am really, really, really looking forward. So I'm going to be giving you an update on my skin, but you should do it with me. For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off their first OneSkin purchase using the code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, when you check out at oneskin.co. That's oneskin.co, and it's oneskin.co. You really, really need to invest in your skin. It's very important. So OneSkin, you're going to do this today. You're going to go to oneskin.co. It is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code JUDYGOLD at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code JUDYGOLD. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. You're welcome.
Okay, so you meet. So do you go out on another date? Like, how do you get a hold of her again? Do you call Todd and say, Todd, that chick you were with?
No, we followed each other on Twitter. So this is like pre-Instagram. And so I just started messaging her on Twitter, I think. And then, we go out on a couple dates. And then very quickly, after we started dating, I gave her bed bugs.
Great.
It's a classic New York City move.
I
had had bed bugs for a while and I thought I didn't anymore. And then they came back.
Ew, what is that like? Like, I know someone that had it and they had to like put everything in plastic and it's.
I did all that. And then they still came back. I had everything piled in the center of the room and they came and sprayed all around.
Right.
I had all my clothes in bags out on a fire escape so that they would like die in the cold weather.
Right.
In the winter time, which is very rare. I got them from Maxwell's, from doing a show at Maxwell's in Jersey. Do you remember Maxwell's? It was in Jersey City.
Where was it? Oh, no, I never did that. Oh, that's so great. You got it from a comedy club. That's fantastic.
No, it was a rock club.
Rock club. Okay.
Yeah. And so then, I gave her bed bugs. And so then we had to move in together.
Oh, that must have been hard. When did she meet your mother?
She met my mom probably brought her home at some point. And then we got married after.
And your mother loved her?
My mom loved her.
Uh-huh.
My mom was so excited about the wedding.
Right.
And then when my mom got sick in 2016
with
cancer. And so then I was out there with my mom, and then Lauren drove across country with our dog so that she could be there with me and that dog over there.
Oh my God. I love Lauren.
Yeah,
well, so you moved back to New Jersey to take care of your mother. I need you to have two conversations with my kids. Okay. About how to be a good son. And I mean, I read that and it was, I was just like, what a good person.
I mean, there was no question ever about it. You know, like, again, it was just us for so long.
Right.
You know, that there was no question that I wasn't going to be there. Well, the weird part was that she remarried late in life. She remarried when she was like 64. And so then I was moving.
And had twins. Good night, folks. Yeah, go ahead.
And so I was moving back. She had, you know, a whole life with this very nice gentleman.
Right.
Who I didn't know really at all. I had visited him maybe for a couple hours every year. And now we all live together. It was very strange.
Wow.
And we're going through like this traumatic experience of someone dying in the house.
Are you still in touch with him?
I am not.
Wow. That's interesting. Huh?
Yeah. That's interesting.
So you take care of your mom. She passes away. I can't even imagine. I mean, I don't have parents and I know that loss, but my father died when I was 27. So, you know, but I grew up with him, you know, like this was your everything.
Yeah.
This is what my rabbi said when my mother died. He said, it's the presence of the absence.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's like, you know, but don't you feel like she's with you all the time?
I especially feel that in my kids too, you know, like I feel it in my daughter and just in her face. I see her in her face.
Yeah.
But I do, and I talk a lot about that with my kids of that, because, you know, my daughter is very precocious, so she'll just be like, my grandmother died. She died before I was born. she tells everybody.
Right.
And so there was like a moment of sadness once when she was talking about her quote unquote grandma. And I was like, she is here. She is here in us every time we remember her, every time.
We talk about her,
like, she is here. Like, all we have are stories anyway, you know, like we are just a collection of stories.
Right.
And so
also
I really like to do that.
That's why the Jews name after the dead, you know, because you keep them alive.
Yes.
So that's why we use the first letter or something, and you can say, who are you named after? And then it retells their story.
Yeah.
It's See, we're chosen.
It gives you a reason
right.
to do it. And something that we've started doing, which is on my mom's birthday, we'll get her favorite meal and set a place for her. And then give her a little plate and with a little bit of food on it and have a picture at the table. And then we just talk about, you know, just so the kids, it's like,
it's a physical presence
for them, you know.
You're a father now.
Yeah.
And your whole going back to the beginning with the being with sick kids as a kid, being a father and being so engaged with your kids, and they are such a huge part of your life. Does that make you even more pissed off about your father? Like, how the fuck could you behave like that?
No, it doesn't make me angry. I think I've given anger up a long time ago. It's very perplexing to me.
Right. Confusing. Yeah.
It's confusing. Cause I remember when my daughter was two, my daughter's our eldest. And when she was two, I was like, imagine me being like, I'm out.
Like, I know what it's like when they were little and you're like, I have to go away for 5 days. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, like, imagine saying bye-bye. I'll see you when you get on a plane by yourself when you're five, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even fucking comprehend that.
Yeah. And also to have like to immediately start a new family where it's just like, I just saw a very funny comic, like a literally comic.
Like,
by Ash Perlman, which said, it's a man and woman talking and he goes, look, sure, I'm surprised you're having an affair, but honestly, I'm just proud of you that you found the time.
I love that.
How can you find the time?
Right.
To have an affair that, you know, it's like crazy.
You hate the saxophone. Now, I have to say, I am a woodwind person. I was a music major. So I played clarinet. Mm-hmm. I love woodwinds. I actually have two saxophones here. You're so like, I want to kill you when you talk about the saxophone because it is the closest to a human voice. It's sexy. Like, why the fuck do you hate a saxophone?
And I dislike saxophones in rock music. And that's where I think the
But what about Springsteen?
Other than Springsteen.
Okay, you can't have it. No, you can't have it all these ways. No.
But I suppose, you know, yeah, no, I just don't, I'm not a huge fan. Also, you know, as you know, it is, it's elevated for comedic effect. My more opinions on the saxophone are just like, it's fine.
All right, good. Because I was like, what the fuck is wrong with him? Okay.
I think I do prefer the brass instruments, though, I would say.
I love brass.
Yeah.
Do you like Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass?
I do.
Love.
They have a cover. I used to work at this place in Baltimore called Tambor's Nifty 50s, which was a 50s style diner.
Oh, yeah.
Also served Indian food. So on the front was like all classic American dishes. And then you flip it over and it was like really good Indian
naan bread. Yeah.
So amazing.
I love it.
An old school Wurlitzer jukebox.
Yeah.
And they had Herb Alpert and the Tijuana Brass's cover of A Few of My Favorite Things. And I have never been able to find it again. It was such a good cover.
Wow. Did you search? Yeah. You searched?
Yes, I have.
Oh, God. Yeah. I got to find that. Yeah. I got to find that.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, they have palm trees, they have evergreens, they have houseplants, and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York, okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information. And it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. Forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. Do it. You're welcome. Okay, let's talk about something else that I have been completely obsessed with.
Yes.
The Giving Tree.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So I started, you know, Shel Silverstein, big porno writer, like mental. Yeah. I love your whole thing. And I have a friend who I play tennis with. Her name's Peggy Schmidt. She's like an angel. She's like one of these people, like, like, isn't it great that we're all together? Like, always takes that moment to be like, we're so lucky. Like, 10 of her family members could have died that morning. Yeah. But look at us. We're here. And we're, you know. And I call her the Giving Tree because it's like and I have been a little obsessed with that book since I started reading it to Henry. I started with Henry because he's the eldest, but, you know, and I'm like, what is this? And I'm like, oh, the tree, is such a fucking martyr and like no selfish, like doormat.
Yeah.
And I'm that's what I am to you. You know, it's like that book. It's crazy.
It's fascinating. As a child, like when I first read it to my daughter, because my mom had read it to me always. And as a kid, I could recognize this sadness in this tree giving all of itself. But that back then it was this idea of like Catholic martyrism,
Which
was like so ingrained with like, that's what you should do. You should destroy yourself for other people because that's what'll get you. That's the highest place in heaven. You know, like that idea. And so that was, you know, it all baked into it. But then reading it as an adult, I was just like, ooh, this hits a lot different as when you read it as a parent.
Yeah. And it's written by a Jew. And it is about martyrdom, but it's like, it's about guilt too. And the kid's such a fucking asshole.
The fact that there is no dimensionality to the kid whatsoever, that the kid never thinks for a fucking second about taking everything
from this person.
But it is kind of a metaphor for being a parent.
Yeah, it really is.
And you don't realize until you're a parent that's how it is. And yeah. I realized we found out my mom was pregnant like we found out my wife was pregnant the day after my mom died. And so she never even knew that they were pregnant. But and so it's fascinating that as soon as you become a parent, you now understand your parents on a much more personal level of what they must have been going through. And it immediately sparks 1,000 questions, like millions of questions.
Right. That you can't ask, which is so annoying.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
I know. My mother had 3 kids. But, you know, we used to, like, now I sound like a fucking old, you know, they don't understand that, you know, like it used to be like, you'd say, I'm going out. And they'd be like, okay. And you'd ride your bike around until it was time for dinner. And then you came home. No one was like, what'd you do? Where'd you go? Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
Are you in the woods smoking cigarettes and not inhaling?
And I was always wondering, like, why didn't my mom ever smell cigarettes on me? It's because everywhere we went,
people. It smelled like smoke.
So everyone just smelled like smoke all the time.
But I tried being a comic in the 80s. I would fucking come home and open my suitcase and smoke would come out of it.
Oh my God.
It was awful.
Imagine.
Your father confused you with another comedian. Is that correct?
Yeah, Andy Daly.
No fucking way.
Yeah, because it was this CarMax commercial. And my brother called me and he was like, Dad thinks you're on a CarMax commercial. And I'm like,
is this not after the stroke, I hope?
No, this is way before.
That's great. Such a good dad. Like,
I'm not in a CarMax commercial. And then I hear my brother yell, like, he's not on a CarMax commercial, Dad. See, I told you. And then in the background, I hear my dad go, yes, he is. Like insisting still that he's right. Just like,
how do you forgive him? Like, you must be.
There isn't a sense of understanding. Do you know what I mean? It's
Yeah.
And when there's not a sense of understanding that sucks so much, it's almost like I'm going to give up. I'm not going to try.
Right. You would get nowhere.
And it's like all just turned it into a bit.
Right. That's what you got. That's what we do.
That's what I got out of it.
You described comedy as a succession of rejections on all levels.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty true.
I'm going to go with yes. Which is, you know, it's interesting for me that comes from a white guy. I mean, I have to say that you... Because
I know I should, and that's even more insulting. Do you know what I mean? Like the whole game was rigged for me to go straight to the top.
Right,
And it's just been a series of rejections. It's even more humiliating.
Right.
I have no institutional barriers.
But it's also like for the women, I tried to, you know, explain this to Henry who books shows and stuff, and he was like, I was like, Henry, you don't seem to understand, because he always, every one of his shows, he's like, I'll have one white guy. I want a woman. I want a person of color. I want I'm like, Henry, when I was starting out, like if there was a woman on the show, there was a woman on the show, it was going to be one. It was going to be one if there was going to be one at all. And they set it up so we would all be competitive with one another. Mm-hmm. But we weren't, like, we were bonded because it was such a fucking shit show. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's just funny. I'm glad you feel some rejection because it sucks.
It's fascinating how quickly that changed as well.
Right.
You know, that change happened in like the last 5 years of like
quickly.
Every show has. Like, you know, it's like a good variety of human experience.
There are still assholes out there.
Oh,
yeah. There's still assholes. Down. Yeah.
Yeah. We're talking about in New York and L.A.
Yeah. Oh, please. And maybe Chicago. I don't know. There's still those fucking assholes. Yeah. You talked about
trying to parent the parent you who raised you, like with your mother.
Yeah.
And now you're dealing with your father. And I just, being a parent, do you ever think about those kids that you visited when you were growing up? And
oh my God. Like it's, I almost didn't include it in the special for that reason, because it's just so, such a horror. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
When you become a parent, you think about the absolute worst thing that can happen.
All the time.
You think about it all the time, and it's fucking horrifying. And there's no approaching that level of sadness. That is,
yeah.
is the worst state of human existence.
Yeah. I wondered if all those memories flood back, or if when your kids are sick, you go to the worst case scenario, or, you know, I always wondered, you know, as I said in the beginning, I was fascinated by that part of you, and then how it manifests itself as you being a parent now.
Yeah. I mean, it, you know, it's just those parts where you like try and shut those voices down, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you can't entertain.
Oh, please. You would be in the corner of like crying all day long.
Yeah.
I love talking to you. I think you're great. I'm happy about your special. It's now on Amazon. I always ask my podcast guests two questions. One is what you do for your mental health, how you keep emotionally healthy.
I try and walk in, mm-hmm. I try and go on hikes in the mountains, which is like 20 minutes away. And I try and surf. Nature.
Surf?
Yeah. I grew up in Jersey. I grew up on the ocean. So
I know, but I grew up in Jersey and we would lay out in the sun. No one surfed. Who surfed in New Jersey?
Everybody surfed in New
Jersey. You know, the undertow there was so bad sometimes.
Oh, yeah, it's intense.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember 100%. Going in and like eating up, you know, and I'm like, I'm dying. And then you just... then you're like on the sand laying there like a fucking...
All those jetties in. Those jetties make the tides worse.
Wow, I didn't know people surfed in New Jersey. Which beach did you go to?
I learned at Avon, which doesn't have great waves. And then I would surf in Spring Lake and then Manasquan.
Oh my God.
Manasquan has like some of the best waves outside of North Carolina.
No way.
Yeah. Manasquan Inlet is
world. Do you still go surfing? Do you bring, did the kids see you?
Yeah. I got all my surfboards right here.
Oh my God. Look at those surfboards.
Yeah,
but you couldn't do it in the wintertime.
I did. I surfed in the wintertime in New York City. I had a bungalow at 91st Street in Rockaway for 10 years.
Are you crazy?
No, I shared it with 10 other surfers. I think $90 a month to have a place a quarter block from the ocean.
Oh my God.
It was awesome. It was so cool.
So funny. Do you wear like a surfer's outfit, like a wetsuit?
Yeah. A surfer's outfit.
Shut up.
I wear the classic surfer's outfit.
I hate you. Okay. So you love nature. That helps you.
That's how I deal with it.
Okay. And then my last question, now we call the podcast Kill Me Now because I say that about 100 times a day because everything aggravates me. Uh-huh. So my final question is, what pisses you off? Like, what makes you so fucking angry?
Ooh, what makes me
like
so
crazy funny. Angry? And it could be anything. It could be anything.
I want to say it's how many times my kids hiccup. But it's not, that's not being fair, but they do hiccup. They hiccup so much. It makes me furious. And what, they don't
do you
even
think they do it on purpose?
They don't do it on purpose, but
because you can't do it.
They just sit there and they don't know that they're doing it. And they just, it's just the whole house is just, and it's just,
that so would purpose. Fucking annoy the shit out of me.
And it's just constantly all the time. And I know it's not their fault. So I can't, that's a bad one because it doesn't, it's not appropriate, but it does happen all the time and it makes me crazy.
Well, can you teach them how to get rid, like do the whole.
I'm always like giving them water. Just like, please drink water. Please drink water.
No, you drink water and then you have to, you take a sip of water and you have to swallow 3 times.
Okay, great.
Without breathe, like just go now, swallow, swallow, swallow on the same sip.
They'll just ignore
me. I'm telling you, it works.
Olive and Gus. Oh. Oh. Where can everyone find you?
You can just KurtBComedy.com, and all my stuff is there.
Are you getting rid of Twitter?
I don't. I haven't used Twitter in years.
Oh, shut the fuck up. You're way cooler than me.
I just don't like. I was never good at Twitter. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was never. It was never my preferred modus. But it was. I did have a lot of good short jokes because I would try it a lot.
Right. Because you would try. Yeah.
And then I would have a lot of good short jokes, and now I don't have so many good short jokes.
I don't like the whole. I can't with the. Content. Like, I can't fucking take it.
Yeah.
I was just talking to someone the other day, an agent, and we were talking about how all my class and generation, we didn't have to do that. We were not distracted. We were only worked on our acts. That's all we did.
Yeah. And there wasn't an expectation to burn your material so quickly.
No. And you could perfect it and you auditioned live. You didn't, there was none of this like tape. Yes. It was like you got in front of a fucking live audience. And if someone like bombed in front of you, too bad.
Yeah.
We're much better qualified than you. Kurt, I can't thank you enough for this.
Thank you so much. It's been a real joy. You're so thorough and you're so pleasant to speak with. I'm so
funny. Can you tell people that? Because
I will.
Yeah, it's not a reputation I have for some reason. I don't understand. I'm such a nice person. Everyone's like, I'm like, I'm not my act. I mean, I am a little bit. Thank you so much for listening to part two of Kill Me Now with the one and only Kurt Braunholer, or Braunholer. Kill Me Now is produced by Laura Vogel, edited by Colin Schmeling. Everything else in the production of this podcast is done by Brittany Jo Sowards. Richmond, she married a Jew. Okay, I say that every time, but if you knew Brittany, she is so not Jewish, from West Virginia, like not Jewish, and married. I mean, it's just funny. She comes to New York. Her parents are probably like, why are you going to New York? They're from, West Virginia. And then she ends up, marrying a lovely Jewish man named Sam, who is just, I fucking love him. Anyway, if you have not subscribed or left a review, please do so, 5 stars only. Buy my book. Yes, I can say that when they come for the comedians, we're all in trouble. But you should also come to the show at 5090s59, and tickets are on sale at my website, judygold.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Judy Gold, JEWDYGOLD. I am sick of saying this all the time, but please subscribe and leave a review. Thank you. Okay, I did take a photo. I put it on my phone of someone who listens to the end, so I'm going to look for that while you sit there and wait, because I can't believe anyone listens to the end. I have so many recipes on here. I'm going to start telling you everything I'm cooking, because I've been cooking. By the way, I just want to say something about one of the Wordles from last week or the week before. It was Lept, L-E-A-P-T. I think those are cheating ones. They're fucking cheating ones, because I have like yeast, mint, delt, and then like it's like when you have 3 or 4 of the letters in the same place on 4 tries, it's fucking annoying. Okay. It's not a good word. Okay. That's all I have to say. Okay. Still looking for who listens to the end. No, that was a text fight I had with Elise. Do you have text fights with your partners? And then all caps, and then I just start gifing. I gif, or I put haha. That's how I have fights. It's so annoying. Okay, I cannot find this person. Shit. Shit and fuck. Shit and fuck and crap. All right, well, I know someone listens to the end, and I thank, for whoever is listening to the end right now, thank you. Thank you very, very much. I love you. Thank you for listening. And I'm, whoever the fuck, what? Okay, I'm going to start writing them down because this whole idea of taking a screenshot of the person who listens to me till the end and not writing it down is very bad. It's very bad. So I'm sorry. I love you all. I really do. I can't believe you're still here. Go get tickets to my shows, please. I need to sell tickets. And that's it. Thank you so much for listening. And as we always say, so long.